Welcome to The Read-Along,
a mini book club for your ears.
I'm your host, Scott.
I'm your other host, Anita.
And join us on a journey through a good book,
one chapter at a time.
Do you like talking about movies? Do you like talking about mediocre movies? Do you like talking about how you could have fixed mediocre movies? Well, I certainly do, and you can listen to me, Scott C. Bourgeois, along with my co-hosts Greg Beaver and Liam Creswick, as we give our notes, and I have some notes. You can follow it now on your podcatcher of choice or support it by visiting patreon.com/ihavesomenotes. Making plans with friends and family, actually.
It's a thing we sometimes get to do.
Yeah. We kind of got voluntold.
kind of, yeah.
That we were going to be hosting an Easter dinner for Nita's fam.
Yeah.
Which is fine. We've got the space for it.
It's 2 weeks away. We got time.
We've got time. We're happy to do it. But it was just kind of like, oh, would you guys host? Please say yes.
And we went, okay.
Sure, yeah.
Sure. Why not?
And that's all following the weekend that's coming up as of this recording, where we've already got existing weekend plans with some friends who...
Yeah, to celebrate a birthday.
Wanted to borrow our place for that. One of them's driving up from out of town. It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
We'll have a weekend house guest, and we'll be doing some fun stuff.
That's the nice thing about the new Shea read-along that we have, is suddenly we have enough space to actually host people properly.
Yeah.
It's nice.
The old place was...
Small.
Small. Like, we did host some events prior to having kids.
Yeah.
But once
even post having kids.
A little bit.
It just got crowdy.
It got very difficult to do. Yeah. And, I mean, it was pretty crowdy even when we had everyone over when we didn't have kids.
Yeah, I know.
Because it wasn't a huge place. Not that our current place is huge.
No,
but it's much bigger than...
It's bigger than the old place,
the old place,
right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's not like we moved into, like, a vast estate or something. No, we just have a proper house now, because we used to live in a townhouse, which didn't have a lot of space.
It's true.
Right? So, now that we have a proper house, we have a little more space, and it's just easier to host.
Yeah, so that's kind of where we're at. Got a couple busy weeks ahead.
Yeah.
Not so busy that we can't still... record, though.
No. Well, that's the nice thing about our little podcast is we're pretty low commitment when it comes to the, hey, do your reading thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's low commitment for us because we only have to read one chapter a week.
As do you.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. Our listeners don't even have to.
No, you could binge the whole thing all at once.
Yeah.
You could just be following along with what we're talking about without actually having read the book.
And then go back and read the book and be like, ah, I see what they were talking about. Like, you could save up and listen to us whenever you want. It's nice.
We've established previously, there is no correct way to listen to the read-along. You can do it the way we're doing it, one chapter at a time, or you can do it however you want.
I'm going to tweak your sentence just a little bit. There is no incorrect way to listen to the read-along. All ways are correct. We need to start talking about our book.
All right. Well, with that, I guess we'll dive into a brief recap of our previous chapter, which was chapter 12, in which everybody wakes up the next day and sets to work trying to solve the mystery with renewed vigor because their friend has been murdered. They talk to the band and get a little bit of an idea of when the murder might have taken place, which could be a clue.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also begin putting together a list of suspicious figures
yes.
who were there that night.
They decipher that letter that they got that they think is for them.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Which may be a clue from the killer. And that leads to Theodore bursting into the room, announcing he's ready to solve a mystery. And that segues us directly into chapter 13 of The Undetectables by Courtney Smith.
So, this is where we get to do our magical science.
More magical science.
Yes. Yes? Yes.
Yes. So, having burst into the room and announced that he's ready to solve mysteries.
He's here. He's queer. He's ready to solve a murder. I adore him.
So, having burst into the room, Theodore gets kind of up to speed on what's going on. Everybody fills him in on what they've discussed that morning so far, so that he's up to speed. He takes a look at the letter that was potentially left for them, and they admit in this moment they're not 100% certain that that's the case. It seems like it's addressed to them.
Right.
But there was no name on the envelope or anything. So it could have, in theory, been left for anybody. There is the question of what's up with Blair's bell, Blair being a member of the Turnian, and they decide maybe they could get a little bit of information about what the Turnian might have to do with these murders if they actually go to the observatory.
Yes.
Which is like the witch church.
kind of.
And talk to the guy in charge there, Observer Johnson.
Yes.
They're going to get in touch, see if he might be available for them to come and ask some questions.
Yeah, I believe Diana is the one who gets on that. She seems to be our connected person.
She is very connected.
Right?
Because of all of her ex-girlfriends.
It's wonderful.
We also have a little, like, segue where Cornelia tries to, like, break the tension and ease the mood a little bit by starting to ask people, if you could summon up any ghost, who would you summon up? And Theodore is like, you should not summon up any ghosts. Speaking as a ghost, that's a terrible idea.
This is horrible. Why would you do that to someone?
And this actually sets off Mallory.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Everything sets off Mallory.
Kinda.
So far, almost everything has set off Mallory.
But she really puts her foot in it here.
Oh, she really does.
Because she snaps at everybody being like, oh, I'm so glad that we have all the time in the world to just, like, talk about irrelevant things right now.
Yeah, with all these people being murdered around us.
And Theodore is the only one who sticks around to be like, maybe you shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, because, maybe don't be a jerk.
Because Cornelia and Diana are like, well then, we'll be on our way. And they pack up their things and go off to do more of their crime projects for a little while to give Mallory some space. Mallory immediately regrets it.
And rightly so.
Especially because Cornelia's like, look, I'm trying to keep things light because I don't want to wallow in grief while we're trying to solve our friend's murder. And Mallory's like, right, they're not getting bored with the case. This is...
Yeah, this is grief. I am a horrible person. And she's like, immediately, she is full of shame. And in my notes, I like, rightly so. You were just terrible to your friends.
Yeah.
Maybe get over yourself.
Kinda.
Sorry, I was really ticked with her in this chapter.
So were Cornelia and Diana.
Yeah.
Though things smooth over by the end of the...
I know.
By the end of the chapter.
There's sort of this understanding that emotions are kind of high right now, and everyone's, you know, working through all of their things their own way.
Yes.
Right? Everyone processes grief differently. And even if you process grief as anger, though, that's no excuse to snap at your friends. Yeah. Mallory, get it together.
Theodore tries to steer Mallory away from her depression by being like, let's get to work. Because the magic machine is ready to go.
Yes, the mass spectrometer has arrived, has been set up. It is very elaborate and confusing and scientific.
Yeah.
And now we're going to start scientifically testing magic.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Because they haven't yet actually proven Mallory's theory that magic is elemental.
Yes.
And that it can be identified on like a base level. And so Theodore is very excited to try this out. And they set to work. And sure enough, turns out it works.
Yeah. When you run the magic through the magical machine, your magic is color coded.
Yeah.
Basically.
It should be also noted that they've modified the mass spectrometer using some things that they cooked up and had 3D printed.
Yes.
It's unclear exactly what, but suffice to say, some sort of magical attunement.
Yeah, there's something that happened that they did that I didn't quite understand, and I'm not sure I was meant to.
Yeah. So proving that this works, number one, proves that Mallory's a genius. Like, Theodore rightly just, like, claps her on the back and starts singing her praises about how this is one of the greatest discoveries in magical forensic science in 100 years. And she's quite proud of herself.
Yes.
But also they then begin running through as many samples as they possibly can to basically figure out what the color codes of magic are.
Yeah, exactly. So what we've determined through samples from Mallory, Diana, some troll hair that Diana had.
Theodore
being the ghost, and then samples from Felix and Cloud and Langdon.
Because they still have their unwashed cups from earlier in the day. So they're able to get a couple very important pieces of information here. Number one, witch magic, red.
Yeah.
Based on samples from both Diana and from Mallory.
Yeah. Theodore's sample came back like a gross yellow color.
Yep.
Fairy magic is green. The troll sample came back like a gray-blue color?
They don't know exactly why that might be the case, why it wasn't like a bold color like the other ones.
Yeah, like a solid primary?
There was the consideration that the troll hair is old. And so it may have lost some of its, like, traces.
Mm-hmm.
It's also possible that it's not pure troll hair. We don't know.
We don't know. But anyway, that's the color that came back.
Yes. So it's at the very least a good indicator of what the troll color might be. One of the band members isn't full fairy.
It's true.
Langdon is half troll, half fairy, and his magic reflects that.
Yeah. He has came out like a fun teal color.
Half gray, blue, half green, in theory.
So then they run the samples that they got from their murder victims, and they're pink.
Yeah. And so that raises some questions.
Yeah.
It doesn't match any of the samples they have, but they don't have samples for demons or for vampires.
True.
And a demon or a vampire could be pink. But we also know that mixed magic
changes the color.
Changes the color. So it's possible it could be a half vampire or a half demon.
And half witch.
And half witch, because the pink would indicate maybe red. But that also raises another question.
Mm.
Vampires borrow their magic.
Right.
If vampires come back as, say, white, could the color of their magic then be changed by who they had been feeding off of? Because then pink could be a vampire who fed off a witch.
Okay. If vampires were to come back a white or even a gray, maybe a silver, who knows?
Yeah. Some light color.
Does that mean that vampires exist on, like, the pastels? Right? Because all of the magic that they would borrow would then be tainted by their own personal coloring.
Yeah.
So everything comes out pink or like a baby blue or...
But more pressingly, if this is vampire magic, it could be vampire slash witch magic. And Beckett, if he's using magic, is almost certainly borrowing it from Cornelia.
Maybe? Like, this is a really big if.
Yeah.
It's a really big
if. It's certainly the supposition that Mallory and Diana would make under those circumstances.
Well, yeah, obviously. But once again, it clearly they're pointing it at Beckett without saying so.
Well,
and I feel it's too obvious.
This is all supposition because we don't have a demon or vampire sample.
True.
And they could be wildly different colors.
Absolutely.
For all we know. And which would raise further questions where this pink magic came from.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see how that shakes out.
Yes, but as I believe it was Theodore pointed out, they are now one step closer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? They do have something figured out, which is nice.
And then they get confirmation that the Observer is available today.
Yes.
Which is kind of, comes up basically right after they're done their testing. And that gives them a new lead to follow up on.
Mm-hmm.
To follow up on some lore about the Turnian.
And hopefully more edumacations.
Yeah, but that's basically this chapter in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's sort of a... They try to make some connections between their murder victims. They're having trouble with that because it's really different.
Yeah, we discussed this last chapter as well. There doesn't seem to be anything that connects Custer and Ben.
No.
That we can tell.
So in that regard, there's a little bit of wheel spinning. But they are still making progress, just maybe not in that direction.
Yeah.
Progress in a different direction.
They are finding clues.
Mm-hmm. I also want to give a little like nod of appreciation to the conversation between Theodore and Mallory, like after she's made this amazing scientific slash magic discovery, right, about the colors. She's run the spectrometer. She knows what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Theodore like genuinely compliments her.
Yeah.
Like, hey, look, you're doing great. And for the first time since Cornelia and Diana have shown up in this book, Mallory is, like, very genuine with him, right? Like, she doesn't swallow her feelings. She doesn't choose not to say something. She is, in fact, open and honest. He's like, you're doing amazing things. She's like, yes, but I'm in so much pain. I can't think because it hurts. And it was so nice to have all of the truth out of her. For once. Like, yes, we know where you are. Stop being angry about things. Stop swallowing your feelings. It's okay. I appreciated that. It was a good like BFF moment, and I liked it.
Yeah, at one point, Theodore mentions how he is Mallory's best friend, and she is his best friend in the whole wide world, and Diana's there. And is like, am I not your friend? And he's like, oh yeah, you're a friend. Absolutely. You're a friend I would die for if I were capable of doing so again.
Oh yeah.
But you're not my best friend.
Just wanted to shout it out because it was good.
Very good. All right. Well, maybe we'll learn more about what's going on as they visit the observatory to follow up on their investigation into the Turnian, which will presumably happen in Chapter 14, which you'll want to read up on in time for next week. And in the meantime, of course, you can give us a little rating and review because that helps us out.
And we appreciate them. We like getting digital love.
You can also send us missives, textual missives via social media.
Yes, we are on Facebook, Instagram, Goodreads, X, and Blue Skies. And we are at the Read Along on most of those.
Yes. You can also send us an email.
Yes. Please send extra digital love to thereadalong@gmail.com.
And with that said, as always, we love you very much and we'll see you next time.
We're gonna go look at the stars.
Thank you for joining us on The Read-Along with your hosts, Anita and Scott Bourgeois. All Read-Along music is by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Cover art is by Aaron Beaver. Be sure to join us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at The Read-Along, and check out our group on Goodreads.com.